discover the tips and strategies that will help you achieve your retirement goals. I'm your host, James Knoll, and this is the podcast dedicated to helping you retire well. It all starts right here on Ready for Retirement. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ready for Retirement. I'm your host, James Knoll. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking all about pensions, and specifically for those of you who are fortunate enough to have a pension, how should you elect to take it? Should you take it as a lump sum? Should you take it as an annuity? What are the pros and cons of each, and when might both make sense? So this question comes from a listener, and this listener, we're going to call her Samantha. And Samantha says this. She says, "Hi, I love your podcast and your YouTube channel. I've learned so much. I have a question related to the pension that I will get when I reach 65 years old, and I'm currently 54. When I reach age 65, I will need to choose the pension as either an annuity of $3,790 per month, or I can get a lump sum distribution of $713,266. My question is, should I take the lump sum distribution of my pension when I reach 65, or should I do the monthly payments? What is the average annual rate of return if I were to take the lump sum so it will come out better than taking the annuity? I tried to do the math to calculate the internal rate of return, but I was not able to determine how long I will live. I am healthy, knock on wood. I don't see myself living past 95, but my grandfather lived until age 88. A lot of my coworkers said the lump sum option is a no-brainer, but I am single and with no kids or dependents, and this is a big difference to them. Some facts. As I mentioned, I am single, no dependents. I have about $700,000 in a traditional 401k, and hopefully this will be closer to $1.1 million when I choose to retire at age 62. I am contributing the maximum amount to my Roth 401k starting this year, including the catch-up amount, and I plan to start collecting Social Security at age 65, which will be about $30,000 per year. My investment approach is high risk. I will not manage my own portfolio, but will outsource it to a management company. I've burned myself too many times before when I did it myself." Well, Samantha, thank you very much for that question. It's a great question, and it's essentially what's better between a lump sum pension versus taking the annuity option. And despite what people might tell you, there is no one-size-fits-all option. Every company's pension is different, and your specific situation, most importantly, is going to be different. So disregard, I shouldn't say disregard, but take with a grain of salt what your coworkers tell you, what your friends tell you, what other people are telling you. Let's explore the pros and cons, and let's explore the variables that you need to consider for yourself to see what option makes most sense for you. Now, before we jump in, I want to highlight the review of the week. This comes from username Kamimoto. It's a 5-star review, and it says, "Excellent information for those near or in retirement. Great tips and strategies to help achieve a successful retirement. One of the best retirement podcasts out there." Thank you very much, Kamimoto. I really appreciate that. Reviews help more people to find the show, and it is fun to see month over month just how many more people are able to tune in and find these episodes. So when you all listen, when you all share this with friends or family or leave reviews, it really means a lot to me, and I thank you very much for doing so. So leave a review if you haven't already done so. You can do that both on Apple and on Spotify now. Please also check us out on YouTube if you haven't done so already, under Root Financial Partners on YouTube, and there's a lot more information there as well. So thank you for that. Now let's jump into the episode of As You Have a Pension. And if you're considering the different options, there's a few things that is going to depend upon. The first of which is kind of just implied growth rates. At the end of the day, you want to know which option is going to put more money in your pocket. So to start, you have to start by looking at a growth rate, or at least a growth rate equivalent. So the option to take either the lump sum as a rollover, and by the way, when you take a lump sum, almost always, I'm talking about taking the lump sum and rolling it over to a traditional IRA. If you take the lump sum as a cash distribution, you're going to be paying taxes on the entire amount. And for Samantha's particular lump sum, that's taxed on over $700,000, which means you would end up with a lot less of that lump sum than you would if you rolled it over to an IRA, which would be completely tax-free, and then took the distributions from there instead. Now, the difference is when you take the lump sum as a rollover, not only are you looking at the income that can create, but you also still have the remaining base. You still have the remaining portfolio balance that you own and you control. With the pension, with the annuity, it's just the income. There's no base that you have control over. There's no amount that you can do something else with. It's just the income. So it's not really necessarily an apples to apples comparison, but let's start with that just as a starting point. The first thing I like to do is I like to understand what is the annuity amount as a percentage of the lump sum. So to do that, we say that Samantha can receive $3,790 per month, or she can receive the lump sum of $713,266. Well, if we take $3,790 per month and divide that or multiply that by 12, that gives her an annual income of $45,480. If you divide that annual income of $45,480 divided by $713,266, what you see is they are going to pay her 6.4% per year of what the rollover amount would be. So this isn't necessarily a perfect comparison, but just to use that for comparison, if you look at that 6.4% that Samantha could take as a percentage of the lump sum, you compare that to the rule of 4%, or you compare that to Guyton's guardrails, where we talked about maybe taking 5.6% at this age as maybe a general starting point. Well, at first glance, it appears that the annuity option makes a whole lot more sense. The annuity option is going to pay 6.4% per year, whereas the guardrails approach, it would pay 5.6% per year. And when I say pay that, I mean that's the amount you could reasonably take while still being reasonably sure that that money is going to last you for the rest of your life. So if we actually look at that 5.6% per year, and if you haven't checked out the podcast episode about this approach and what I'm talking about here, go back and listen to episode number 27. It's called How Much Can I Safely Spend in Retirement? Because when you're retired, what you really want to know is how much can I take from my portfolio before I start to run the risk of potentially running out of money. So what that talks about is it talks about the maximum percentages based upon looking at the last 80, 90 plus years in the stock market history. What's the most you can take out of your portfolio, assuming you follow some set of rules every single year to ensure that you're not running the risk of outliving your money? And the bottom line is you could probably spend up to 5.6% per year of your portfolio if you're invested the right way and depending on a few other factors. Now, to bring it back to this example, if you spent 5.6% per year of that lump sum amount, that comes out to $39,943 per year. Well, you compare that to the annuity, which would pay $45,480 per year, and you say it's kind of a no-brainer, right? The annuity is going to pay $5,500 per month more. It's got to win, right? Pension makes more sense. Well, it's pretty good for an initial withdrawal rate, but the next thing you have to ask, is there an inflation adjustment? If that amount is adjusted for inflation, that's guaranteed, then the pension might make more sense in this scenario. It's potentially creating more income. I say potentially because this isn't factoring in the lump sum. You also have control over the initial balance, the principal amount, not just the income amount. But if that annuity has an inflation adjustment, then the income you can create from that is probably, or likely, at least in this case, more than the income you could create through managing a portfolio on your own. However, a lot of these pensions do not have an inflation adjustment. So what we have to look at is what does that pension or what does the annuity amount look like after 5 years, after 10 years, after 20 years, after 25 years, and we have to start to compare that to what would a standard withdrawal rate look like if you were to take the lump sum option, because when you're looking at withdrawal rates, so the 5.6% that I mentioned in this example, that's under the assumption that you are giving yourself spending adjustments over time. So it's helping to keep up with inflation. So as we look at this, let's see how that actually plays out. We know that year one, so Samantha collects the annuity option, she's going to have more income year one than she could get from a sustainable withdrawal rate from the lump sum option. But if we fast forward 25 years, well, what you see then is the annuity option, it's still the exact same income. It's still $45,480 per year, just like it was year one of taking the annuity. With the lump sum, though, that initial income amount was $39,943 per year, but if we assume a 3% inflation rate over time, and if we assume that your portfolio is keeping up with that through the way it's being managed, that $39,943 turns into $81,196 in year 25, meaning it's kept up with inflation and it's helping to maintain that purchasing power, not just maintain a fixed dollar amount. So the next thing we want to do is look at the cumulative withdrawals. So after 25 years, I'm just using that as a starting point, that would take Samantha from age 65 until 90. After 25 years, if she were to take the annuity option, she would have had, or she would have received a cumulative amount of $1,137,000. I'm rounding a little bit, but right up around $1.137 million. Now we compare that to the lump sum amount. So if she were to take the lump sum, take an income amount that's adjusted up over time with inflation, the cumulative withdrawal rate that she would have received from that, or the cumulative total withdrawal, I should say, would be $1.46 million. So over an extra $300,000 more in income created over those 25 years, and that's still not even including whatever lump sum was left in her portfolio value, whereas the pension, once you pass, any amount remaining, it goes away. You don't actually receive it. So when I actually look at this analysis, I want to see where's the break even. So we know after 25 years, she would have come out ahead through taking the lump sum, assuming these assumptions happen, assuming she can generate this income, and assuming there's an inflation adjustment because the portfolio is managed well and does well over time. But I want to know where's the break even for this particular assumption or this particular annuity option. Well, it's after year 10. Meaning after 10 years, the annuity would have paid out $454,820. And if she would have taken the lump sum as a rollover, it would have paid out $457,902 if that income amount was adjusted for inflation every year for those first 10 years. Now, every year after that, the inflation adjustment just puts the rollover, puts the lump sum further and further ahead, assuming she's getting that growth. And I'm going to keep saying that because nothing is guaranteed with investing. In fact, nothing's guaranteed with a pension. It's really only as good as the pension company or the provider or the company sponsoring it is able to be solvent. But this is the assumption that we're making as we go through this analysis. Now, in the next part of Samantha's question, she asks, what is the average annual rate of return if I were to take the lump sum so that I will come out better than taking the annuity? So this part totally depends, and it totally depends upon what you're invested in, and it depends upon how do those things perform over the course of your retirement. So it's harder to understand exactly what rate of return you will get if you were to take the rollover option or the lump sum option. But what you can do is we can start to look at the internal rate of return on the annuity. And what an IRR calculation, so an internal rate of return calculation does, is every single year we can understand the exact rate of return, or more or less the exact rate of return on the annuity, given how long you live. So for example, if you take the annuity option, you are electing to take $45,480 per year instead of taking $713,266 as a lump sum. So hypothetically, if you take the annuity and you pass away after 12 months of collecting that benefit, your internal rate of return was -94%. Well, where does that number come from? What it is it's a calculation of understanding how much money did you put in. And effectively, in this scenario, by foregoing the 713 grand lump sum, it's effectively like you putting that much money into a portfolio, collecting $45,480, and then the portfolio being worthless because after you pass, you no longer receive the annuity anymore. So the equivalent here is if you only collect that annuity for 1 year, your internal rate of return is the equivalent of -94%. So clearly not a good option. If you knew you were going to pass away 1 year after collecting this, the lump sum would make a whole lot more sense because you could take out the full amount as opposed to just $45,000. Well, if you extend this to 10 years, at 10 years, the IRR, the internal rate of return assumption or equivalent on collecting an annuity for 10 years and then passing away is -7% per year. Because over those 10 years, you would have collected a cumulative $454,000, but keep in mind, you did so by foregoing $713,000. So the average annualized return that you would have to get the equivalent of if you were to take the lump sum is -7% per year while also taking those distributions. In fact, with the annuity, you don't even break even until year 16. Meaning at year 16, that's where the IRR, the internal rate of return for the annuity, would be 0%. And the reason for that is after year 16, it's the equivalent of having taken the lump sum of $713,000, keeping it in cash, earning 0% interest, and taking $45,480 per year. So the annuity and why the income that you can take. So if you recall, I started this analysis by understanding what's the income as a percentage of the lump sum. Well, the income as a percentage of the lump sum was 6.4%, which does not sound bad until you start to understand, well, what's the IRR, the internal rate of return here? Because when you're looking at the income on an annuity, it's very different than looking at the income on a portfolio, because with a portfolio, you have both the base, or you have the principal, plus you have the income. With an annuity, you only have the income and you don't even break even in the scenario until you're 16. And that's fairly common with annuities. There's going to be some break even point. And as you're looking at this, I mentioned, Samantha, it's hard to say exactly what rate of return you're going to get if you invest these funds. But what looking at the IRR does is it says, can I outperform what I know the rate of return to be on the annuity based upon different life expectancies? So again, to summarize, after 10 years, the annualized rate of return on the annuity, if you passed away after 10 years, would be negative 7% per year. The annualized rate of return on the annuity, if you passed away after 16 years of collecting it, would be 0%. The annualized rate of return, if you extend that all the way out to 30 years, would be about 5% per year. The exact amount is 4.83%. Now, what that means in plain English is this. It means if you were to take the lump sum, or if you were to start with that value of $713,000, if you were to get a growth rate of 4.83% per year, that's the growth rate that would be required to generate the $45,482 of income every single year and be able to provide that for 30 years before you would run out of money. So what this is showing you is just an equivalent rate of return. And so, Samantha, when you're asking what is the average rate of return I would get if I were to take a lump sum and come out better than the annuity, impossible to say. But really all you have to do, this makes it a little bit more simple, is when you look at the IRR each year, you say, could I do better than that by taking a lump sum? So for example, the IRR on the annuity after 20 years is 2%. And if I don't round it, but if I actually look at the exact number, it's, well, 2.4%. So if you could roll that money over and grow it by more than 2.4% per year, that portfolio that you're growing on the side, it would generate excess returns for you over the course of those 20 years. If you grew it less than 2.4% per year, you would come out behind. And the way that annuities work and the way that they're structured is you're going to have a very, very poor IRR on the front end, because if you die after 1 year, if you die after 2 years or 3 years, you just haven't received enough income payments to really even come close to making up for what you could have received with a lump sum. But the longer they last, the higher that IRR goes, and at some point it levels off. But at age 30 years, so let's say again, you retire at 65, you live to 95, the IRR on the annuity would be 4.83%. So if you look at that and say, could I generate a return in excess of that by taking the lump sum? If the answer is yes, then that's where it might make more sense to take the lump sum as opposed to the annuity. That being said, there are other factors to consider, and I want to quickly go over those. The first of which is just risk tolerance. So returns are not guaranteed. As we ask, can you do better than that by taking the lump sum instead of the annuity? Maybe, probably, but there's no guarantee. Now, the longer your time horizon, the more likely those returns become. In the annuity, you don't really have to worry about this, because to the extent that the annuity company or to the extent that the company backing the annuity is solvent, you're just going to continue to keep receiving that income. So if you have an extremely low risk tolerance, and if any level of fluctuation in the market is just something that you do not want to even have to deal with, the annuity might make the most sense for you. You don't have to worry about it. And you have its insurance in the sense that as long as you live, you're going to be receiving this income. If you have a much higher risk tolerance and you look at that and say, gosh, I think I could probably generate returns of 5% or more over 30 years through a more diversified, aggressive portfolio, if you're much more comfortable with that, well, then that might be another reason to lean towards the lump sum. So your risk tolerance should absolutely be factored into this. Of the annuity, just it feels good. Sometimes there's that peace of mind. Keep in mind that safety you feel, though, is maybe just perceived safety. And I say that because what the annuity company is doing is they're not just letting those funds sit idle in cash. They are investing those into stocks, into bonds, into other investments. So just because you're not the one that's managing, doesn't mean that someone else isn't managing and owning individual or funds of stocks and bonds. So the annuity company is also investing in a variety of stocks and bonds and investments that are still going up and down in value, but you're transferring the risk to them. So there's really no way around those investments not getting invested, or that annuity not getting invested. But the question is, are you doing it or is the annuity doing it? Another thing to consider is beneficiaries. Now, Samantha, you mentioned you don't have heirs, so this isn't as big of a concern for you, or you don't have children. But if you do have children or heirs or a charity that you'd like to give the funds to, then there's some downsides to the annuity. If you die, those funds go away. So in this case, Samantha, for you, for example, if you were to pass away 5 years after beginning this annuity, you would have received $227,000, more or less, but the lump sum equivalent at retirement would have been over $713,000. So you lost around $485,000 before even factoring in growth that could have gone to beneficiaries or heirs or a charity. So if this isn't an issue or this isn't something that is necessarily relevant to you, then this consideration is, well, kind of off the table. But if you would love to be able to leave something to children, keep in mind that the annuity option is not going to allow you to do so. And then another thing to keep in mind is tax planning. And there's just no flexibility with an annuity. With an annuity, the benefit and the reason people like it is it's a consistent income stream. You're just going to receive a paycheck every single month or direct deposit every single month, and you don't even have to think about it. Now, that can also be a negative. If you're trying to do tax planning, so you mentioned, Samantha, that you have a decent amount in your pre-tax balance, a pretty good amount in your pre-tax balance, and you expect that to keep growing. Well, one of the things a lot of people do when they retire is they try to implement Roth conversion strategies of how do we use that tax planning window? How do we use those years between retirement and required distributions? How do we use that to start moving money from pre-tax accounts to Roth accounts? Well, if we have an annuity, that annuity becomes an income floor, and that income floor is going to push us up into some minimum tax bracket. What this does is it just makes it harder to do tax planning because now, for example, maybe you're starting out already halfway through the 12% tax bracket, and any conversions you do is stacking on top of that. So you're receiving the income from the pension, which is great, but it's also filling up some of those lower tax brackets that otherwise maybe could have been used for conversions. So instead of taking a taxable distribution from the annuity, if you had the lump sum option, could you take that same amount but do it as a conversion instead? So taxes are the same, but instead of you actually spending that money because it's a distribution to you, can you convert that money so now it's in your Roth IRA? And this typically is done if you have cash or brokerage accounts or other assets to live on, of course, because you do have to live on something. But it does make tax planning a little bit more challenging in the sense that that annuity payment is going to be filling up the lower tax brackets, or at least a portion of the lower tax brackets, which doesn't give you as much space to convert in those brackets before jumping up into the medium to higher tax brackets. So that may or may not be an issue, but if you do roll over the annuity and take it as a lump sum option, what you're able to do is you're able to see, should I take distributions of this as income? Should I do conversions from this into my Roth? You have a whole lot more flexibility in terms of how that goes. So that's how I would look at it, Samantha. At the end of the day, you want to know what's going to put more money in my pocket over the course of my lifetime. What's going to be the better option for me? And that comes down to a growth rate, or at least a growth rate equivalent type conversation. After that, though, you do have to keep things in mind like risk tolerance, like desire for beneficiaries or other heirs to receive any of the proceeds from the lump sum. You have to look at things like tax planning, just as supplemental things to see not just what puts the most money in your pocket, but which of these options is the best for my overall financial picture. So I hope that was helpful. Samantha, thank you very much for your question. Thank you for your support of the podcast and the YouTube channel. If you're listening and haven't tuned into the YouTube channel yet, be sure to do so. You can find that at Root Financial Partners. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Ready for Retirement podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe and let me know by leaving a 5-star review. And as always, for a list of the notes and the resources mentioned in today's episode, you can find those at the Ready for Retirement website, which is readyforretirement.co. That's readyforretirement.co. And if you have a question that you would like for me to answer in a future episode, then you can also go to the Ready for Retirement website, readyforretirement.co. There's a page called Submit Your Question where you can submit a question for me to answer in a future episode. Thanks as always for listening, and I'll see you next time. Hey everyone, it's me again for the disclaimer. Please be smart about this. Before doing anything, please be sure to consult with your tax planner or financial planner. Nothing in this podcast should be construed as investment, tax, legal, or other financial advice. It is for informational purposes only.